Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is Sharon Letisk. I pronounced that right, Sharon?
Close.
Okay.
Letisk.
And Sharon has a restaurant right here in Albany, New York, and it's called Healthy on Lark. So, Sharon, what? First of all, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. So you have a store called Healthy on Lark. So it's kind of like a health food restaurant. Inspired you to open up a health food restaurant right in the heart of Albany?
Well, I personally have been plant-based for 30 years, and food has always been very important to me. Both of my parents are immigrants, so I grew up with loving food, always eating different kinds of foods, and I grew up in New York City, so exposed to many different cultures. And from a young age, I realized that what we put in our bodies really make up who we are. So actually, after having worked for the state for a long time, an opportunity came up when in the space where I am, there was a vegan spot called Little Buddha Cafe that had been there for about 4 years. And the owner approached me about buying his business. And I ultimately decided to open my own plant-based cafe there in that location.
So when you were approached and offered, were you still a state worker?
No, I actually had already left state service, and I was focusing on, I'm a certified health coach, so even though my background had been criminal justice previously, I had already pursued training and health coaching, as health was always a very important piece of my life, and I had already been working with individuals and organizations, including schools, on educating people on how to make healthy choices in their daily life.
Health coach, that sounds kind of interesting. Do you kind of like butt heads with the medical establishment, or are they embracing what you do?
Well, to say the medical establishment, that's a very large arena. It's not just obviously one unanimous way of thinking or entity. So obviously there are health professionals who are more holistically minded, and there are some who are not. So it's been a journey for me, honestly, in not having such dualistic thinking, because having worked for the criminal justice system for a long time, it is a very dualistic, binary, adversarial approach. And I actually kind of started in the health field with kind of that mindset, and I've learned to shift and realize that everything is on a spectrum. So I approach everyone I deal with, individuals and organizations, realizing that there is no one uniform perspective, and it's about showing people that wherever they are on the spectrum, they can move in a healthier direction.
Do you find that people are more conscious than in previous decades, since we're starting a new decade?
Yes.
Of people who are more conscious about what they put into their bodies and how healthy it is?
Yes, I would say so. I think that certainly with the internet and example programs like this podcast, people have access to a lot more information today than they used to. So just anecdotally, 30 years ago when I became a vegetarian, it was a lot more difficult to find information and access to plant-based food. And today, any supermarket you go into, even the most basic supermarket, you can find organic foods. You can find many plant-based options. And again, I think more people are waking up, certainly environmentalism and what we're facing right now. You do not have to look too far. Unfortunately, look at what's happening in Australia. You look at what's happening all over the world. There's not a single continent that is not impacted by drastic climate change. And our food choices are directly linked to climate change.
A lot of the foods that people eat And people are becoming more conscious now, but, you know, they're sprayed, they're injected with all kinds of harmful materials. Has that increased over the past number of years?
Yes, unfortunately. There are companies, major corporations like Monsanto, that are spraying glyphosate on much of the crops that exist across the world. And unfortunately, even with the push towards organic foods in many places around the world, just anecdotally, Mexico is an example. I have friends who have personal knowledge of this and experienced this who are living in farm country there, and there would be fields where you have conventional foods that are not organic that are being sprayed with toxic chemicals, and you might have organic farms close by, and the wind will carry the chemicals that are being sprayed on the conventional foods even into the farmland where there are organic foods being grown. So unfortunately, it is ubiquitous, and there is cross-contamination even amongst organic farmlands too.
So if you try to, anybody who tries to sue Monsanto, that's like they're destroying Goliath, right? It's almost impossible to do so.
Almost. I believe recently there have been a couple of landmark cases in different parts of the world where there have been some successful people. But it is, as you can imagine, they are a massive corporation, and they have many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of attorneys on their payroll.
Oh my God.
That is, you know, it's very hard to fight a Goliath like that when you're just a small individual.
So if somebody walks into your restaurant for maybe like a snack or lunch, what do you serve that is wonderful and people would enjoy?
Sure. I can mention a couple of our most popular items. Our chickpea burger, which is made from scratch using organic ingredients. It is not a processed veggie burger. So it has a little bit of spice to it. But we've kind of perfected it to the point where it's not too spicy, but it's got some really nice flavor going on. And that's served on a organic whole wheat bun with veggies. And that's very popular. We also work with tempeh, which is a fermented soy product, but it's popular in like the Japanese culture. It is not highly processed, and the fermented aspect makes it easy to digest. So I do two sandwiches with that, a BLT and a Reuben. And the Reuben uses vegan cheese, and it uses actual fermented sauerkraut, which is very good for the digestion. And the BLT uses the tempeh with tomato and greens on it. So those are some of our very popular items. And for people, I do carry organic local eggs for people who eat eggs. We serve breakfast all day. So we have all kinds of fun omelets and different egg dishes as well that are available.
So if somebody wanted to come in for coffee and dessert, what kind of organic desserts would be on your menu?
I don't always specialize on desserts. Sometimes that's more seasonal. But we do. I tend to do things like muffins using seasonal items. So using squash. I like to use baking a lot of local organic squash into desserts. And apples as well. So doing things like apple tarts and apple muffins. So I really like to use our local ingredients whenever possible. We always carry organic Democracy coffee. That is the coffee that we use in-house. And then I have a wide selection of organic teas as well, herbal and caffeinated.
So people like yourself who are from all walks of life, is the fact that they're opening up a little small cafe, small restaurant, is this happening all over the country? Is there a lot of people offering alternative foods in restaurants?
I'd say so, and it's not even it's not only small. I mean, I've been quite surprised. I keep up with the trends, and especially I'm always amazed when I see in the South, including Texas. Texas actually has quite a large growing plant-based community. And there are chains that are spreading across Texas and California as well. And it's coming to the East Coast. and as well as juices. We didn't even mention the fact that a big part of my business is creating organic fresh pressed juices for folks, and we do juice cleanses as well. And actually something that we're expanding into now this year is meal prep services, because I think a lot of people want to eat healthy, but they say they don't have the time or it's too expensive. So I'm really looking at ways to help people realize that they can outsource it to a local business like mine to help them have healthy meals ready for them to go for the week. And it's not any, it's certainly less expensive than dining out at other places, and you're getting a higher quality food.
Wow. So, and in the Capital District, is there a lot of, I want to say, healthy restaurants? I know that the Honest Way Cafe, Honest Way has a cafe. So, is there a number of healthy restaurants that people could go to in the Capital District?
I would say that more restaurants are realizing that they need to have healthy options on their menu, because there's demand for it. So I would say that I've seen it improving over the last 5 years, that more places, again, have been adding items onto their menu that are plant-based, and, you know, more salads, more seasonal vegetables being used in their food. So I do see a positive trend.
So have you been plant-based most of your life, would you say?
30 years.
What inspired you to do so?
When I was a teenager, my best friend gave me a book called Diet for a Small Planet to read. And that was kind of like the Food Inc. of my generation. You know, now young people have a lot of documentaries that they can watch to inspire them. And many are inspired by that to change their eating habits. And when I read this book that was written in the 70s, and my eyes were opened as to the impact of factory farming and how animals were treated on factory farms. That's it. I just made the switch once I was educated as to what was happening. I didn't want to be a part of it anymore.
So you walked away and never looked back then. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, the transition for me was I cut out all meat, and it took me a little, it took me probably about a year to cut fish out of my diet at that point. That was probably that was like my last animal that I was consuming, and because it was just challenging. I mean, for a lot of people, it's hard to cut everything at once. And my family was still eating all across the spectrum. So as a teenager, I had to figure out how to feed myself. So that was a bit challenging. But yeah, then I just made a complete transition.
So you don't eat eggs or cheese?
No, I am not strictly vegan. I am vegetarian. So I do eat some organic egg. And if I know the farm where it's coming from, sometimes I will eat some goat cheese.
Okay. So is it hard to... is it hard to get all the stuff you need to keep a healthy restaurant open?
It can be. It certainly can be. Again, I try to focus on local. So obviously, as seasons change, we produce less in the area. I do have oranges on my menu, so we do not grow oranges locally. So obviously, I have to reach outside of the area for certain items. So it is definitely a process of finding reputable sources to get products from. But, you know, that's part of running a food business. It's been definitely been a learning opportunity.
So a lot of people walk up and down Long Street, and there's many choices. There's Chinese, there's Mexican, there's your health food, and there's, you know, bar with bar and grill food. So as people are strolling up and down Lock Street and figuring out where they want to go, do a lot of people walk into your establishment and say, "Gee, I'm going to try your what you have. You know, I'm not really familiar with it, but I want to give it a try." Has that happened to you?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. People are always curious and want to try things. Definitely.
Oh, good. And then from giving it one try, they'll come back, do you think?
Yeah, I have many people who return, yes.
Good. So this is really interesting. Do you think in years to come, the movement for healthy will increase?
Yes. Yes, I mean, I think it's kind of really sad that America, we spend more per capita on healthcare costs, but we might as well call our system a sick care system, because up until now, and even now, really, we don't incentivize doctors, you know, anyone in the medical profession to really focus on prevention. You know, I mean, pharmaceutical companies have done a great job lobbying Congress to to make sure that essentially legal drug dealing is a very profitable business in this country. And I think more and more Americans are realizing that the system is broken, and they don't necessarily want to be taking 10 pills a day. It is not uncommon for the average American, once they hit their 60s, to be taking over 10 types of medication per day.
Really?
So, yes, really. And I mean, that's a big part of what's driven me to be focused on healthy living and on the health coaching side of things. So I actually have a lot of people who come to me and come to the cafe specifically because they're going through medical problems, because they've had heart problems, because they're facing cancer, because they have diabetes, high blood pressure, and they are on multiple medications, or their doctors are telling them they're about to add more medications. And many people say, no, I know that if I change my diet, I can reverse this. And I'm happy to say that I work with many people who I've helped them to reverse disease, reduce their numbers, you know, get their overall health into better balance and to be in much better shape by helping them change their diet, create a plan, and stick to a plan.
You know, I think it's important in this conversation we're having to enlighten people as to what they can read on better nutrition. So what are the books or maybe even videos that have exposed how bad our food supply is in this country? What would you say?
Sure. Sure. A great documentary I recommend is called What the Health. That's available on Netflix. Another one is Food Inc., as in Food Incorporated. That is a very pivotal film that exposes many aspects of our food system and a lot of the dangers in our food supply. A film that just came out recently that a lot of people, especially who are athletic, will enjoy is called Game Changers, also available on Netflix. And that's fascinating from an athletic perspective. It specifically focuses on athletes, top performing athletes, Olympians, and top performers in every type of sport out there who have transitioned to plant-based, and even doing experiments with meat eaters who are athletes, and doing somewhat of a study looking at how even for a short period transitioning their diet can impact their performance. So the science is very readily available as to, let's be real, even to not get into ethical reasons about how animals are treated, looking at it purely from a selfish perspective of the individual and one's health, animals are being fed a lot of toxic food to begin with. They're also being injected with a lot of chemicals and antibiotics. This is allowed by our Food and Drug Administration. There are very high levels of toxins that the animals themselves are being ingested, are ingesting. Then clearly once they're slaughtered and turned into food, humans are consuming that. So in addition to the burger that you might be eating, you're also ingesting everything that that animal consumed. So realizing that there are correlations between the huge increases in illnesses in our society, cancer in our society, we can go across the board, you know, heart disease, our diet and the toxins, not only the high consumption of the animal products, but the toxins contained therein are directly linked to so much of the increase in the illness that our society is facing. So from a very selfish perspective, we can look at reducing our chances of illness and just improving our overall well-being by reducing the amount of toxins that we're consuming. And again, so, it also even back to the yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So when an animal is injected with antibiotics and it's consumed by a human, then does it build up an immunity in a human being where antibiotics won't have the same effect anymore?
Well, you're kind of talking about now, right, in society we're dealing with superbugs that are now not even responding to our traditional antibiotics. So, yeah, I mean, you have to kind of question, right, and they, of course, have been doing scientific studies to look at this, that this vast – some scientists will say, no, that's not true, you don't have the crossover like that. But even from another perspective, looking at – the way that we're – there's a whole hot topic right now about vaccinations in humans and how much we're exposing our children to and the way that we're doing vaccinations in our country. We're including way more – many more vaccines. We're bundling many more vaccines at once. Children are – it used to be, you know, children of my generation and your generation were given one or two shots at a time, really one at a time, for one particular illness, and now they're bundling many, many, many at once. So that is having an impact on our immune system. And then coupling it with that we're consuming, not only, I should mention, by the way, not only in the animals, but so another environmental impact is all of these antibiotics that are being fed into our animal supply, agricultural animal supply, there is runoff that is getting into our water supply. So another thing to realize is our water system is highly contaminated. You don't have to look too far to see about Flint, Michigan, and see about the lead issues in Flint. That's just one piece of the puzzle. If you do research into water studies across our country, high levels of antibiotics, of all different kinds of medications. What happens is there's a lot of improper disposal of medication in our country that ends up running off into our water supply, and all kinds of other contaminants, even birth control, believe it or not. So levels of hormones getting into our water system. So we're not only talking about lead like in Flint from the pipes that the water is running through, you know, through the entire cisterns and water systems. We're also talking about actual improper disposal of medication and runoff of antibiotics from animal husbandry ending up in our water supply. So when we're drinking water that is unfiltered and that's in many of our systems, tap water, we're being exposed to all kinds of contaminants as well, in part affected by the agricultural process. So that's impacting our health and well-being too.
What you do on Lock Street is just one small component of a larger picture, right?
Absolutely. and I mean, a big part of what, as you can tell, I'm passionate about a lot of different aspects of health and wellness, and the fact that it's all integrated. We are each human is an integrated system. Our body's an integrated system. You can't say, well, I'm going to just take this medication over here and I'm not going to worry about the rest of what I do all day or the rest of what I consume, or we didn't even talk about the air that we're breathing, right? The same way I just talked about our water being contaminated, our air is contaminated with many of the same kind of chemicals I just stated.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, it's about becoming conscious. You mentioned the co-op. I've been a proud member of the Honest Weight Food Co-op for going on almost 15 years now. And, you know, I'm on the environmental committee there. So, you know, doing work on addressing a lot of these issues, both internally at the co-op and how do choices that we make, buying choices we make, impact the larger community as well. So the thing that I always work with people is to ask people to just one step at a time, become more conscious of your buying choices, conscious of what you're putting in your body, conscious of get involved in your local community. I'm proud to say that I've been involved with the local legislation. We, Albany County, last year banned styrofoam for restaurant use, and I was a proud restaurant owner who went and lobbied for that when the actual restaurant lobbying group was fighting against it. And they asked me to join their fight to keep styrofoam. And I said, absolutely not. I'm going to stand up and fight for the fact that it's important for our environment. They were trying to make it an economic issue. And I said, heck no. I said, no, it is a health issue. And I care about my customers. And I'm going to the efforts of giving them clean food. Why would I put it in toxic packaging? So this is on very many levels a passion of mine. And it's something that we get to stay conscious of. And I even bring that into the packaging that I put my food in for my customers.
This has been a tremendous and wonderful conversation. So tell us a little bit about exactly where you are and why people should come in and become more conscious of the foods that you serve.
Sure. So the cafe is located at 274 Lark Street in Albany, New York, and that is between Hudson and Hamilton, right across the street from Cafe Hollywood. The reason people should come in is to taste delicious breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a fresh-pressed juice. They should come in and talk to me about possibly a juice cleanse if they are feeling a little lethargic or feeling like I have many people who come in feeling like they just want to kickstart their metabolism and they just want some help in purging some of the toxins they've been consuming. I'm able to help craft a cleanse for them. And also if they just want some support in figuring out how to make healthier choices and create a plan to move forward, I'm there for them. As well as if they have a company that is looking to bring any of these options, including coaching for their customers and their clients and their own employees, I am able to help the entire organization, again, from a holistic perspective, look at how they can shift into a healthier way of being, because, again, people are more productive. If they're happier, if they're healthier, if they're feeling lighter, they are going to be more productive. So that is a win-win for everybody. So if you have a body and you want to take better care of it, come and see me.
So give out your contact information.
Sure. The number at the restaurant is 518-650-7755. The website is healthyonlark.com. And you can send me an email at healthyonlark@gmail.com.
Thank you, Sharon. Hopefully a lot of the stuff that you've mentioned in today's podcast will, you know, reach the ears of many people, and hopefully you can change the lives and well-being of many people who listen. So you have been listening to Sharon. Please pronounce your last name. I'm so sorry.
Lastique.
Lastique. And this is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, Women Who Inspire. Thank you, Sharon. Good luck on all your endeavors. And I hope you make Albany totally healthy. And
thanks,
thank
Cynthia.
You, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Cheers.